The Sunan, plural of Sunnah, have been enumerated in the beginning of this chapter. In the following paragraphs, some of the important principles of determining the Sunan are elaborated upon. The first principle, only that thing can be a Sunnah which is religious by nature and status. The Quran is absolutely clear that the prophets of Allah were sent to deliver His religion. In their prophetic capacity, the ambit of their thoughts and deeds was only that of religion. Everything besides this was primarily of no concern to them. No doubt, besides their prophetic capacity, they were also Ibrahim ibn Azar, Musa ibn Imran, Isa ibn Maryam, and Muhammad ibn Abdullah in their human capacity. However, in this human capacity, they never asked obedience from their followers. All their demands were confined to their prophetic capacity, and what was given to them in this capacity was religion, and thus it was only religion whose propagation they were liable to. He has enjoined on you the same religion which He enjoined on Noah, and which we have now revealed to you, which we enjoined on Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, with the assertion, adhere to this religion in your lives, and do not create any divisions in it. Surah 42, verse 13. Consequently, it is known history that the Prophet ﷺ used weapons like swords and arrows in wars, traveled on camels, constructed a mosque whose roof was made of stems of palm trees, ate some foods which were customary in the Arab society, and showed his like or dislike for them, wore a certain dress which was in vogue in Arabia, and whose selection also had much to do with his personal taste. However, none of these things can be termed Sunnah, and neither can any man of learning regard them to be Sunnah. At one instance, the Prophet ﷺ himself is reported to have said, I am also a human being. When I direct you about something which relates to your religion, take it from me, and when I express my own opinion about something which is outside the sphere, then my status in this regard is nothing more than that of a human being. I had conjectured about something. Do not hold me accountable for such things which are based on opinion and conjecture. However, if I say something on behalf of God, take it, because I will never forge a lie on God. You very well know about your worldly affairs. Reference Muslim, Al-Jami Al-Sahih, 1038-1039. The second principle. The Sunnah entirely relates to practical affairs of life, belief, ideology, history, occasions of revelation, and other similar things do not fall in its sphere. In the Arabic language, Sunnah means trodden path. The way the Almighty dealt with peoples to whom messengers were sent by rewarding or punishing these people is called Sunnatullah by the Quran. Consequently, the word Sunnah cannot be applied to things such as faith, and nothing which relates to theoretical knowledge can be regarded as Sunnah. Its ambit is practical things, and everything that does not fall in this ambit cannot be called Sunnah. The third principle. The third principle is that even things which belong to the practical sphere cannot be regarded Sunnah if they are initiated by the Quran. It is known that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had amputated the hands of thieves, flogged criminals of adultery, stoned people to death for sexual misconduct, fought with people who deliberately denied the truth. However, all these acts cannot be termed Sunnah. All these are directives initiated by the Quran, and the Prophet ﷺ merely followed them. On the other hand, directives such as the prayer, the fast, zakah, hajj, and animal sacrifice are also mentioned in the Quran, and it has also made some corrections in them. However, it becomes evident from the Quran itself that these directives were initiated by Muhammad ﷺ himself once he had reviewed them as part of the religion of Abraham ﷺ and given them religious sanction. Thus, they must be regarded as Sunnah which the Quran has ratified. So if something is originally based on the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ has merely explained it or followed it in exactly the same way he was directed to, then these words or acts of the Prophet ﷺ will not be called Sunnah. They will be termed as the Prophet's explanation and exemplary manner in which he acted upon them. Only those things will be regarded as Sunnah, which are originally based on the words, practices, or tacit approvals of the Prophet ﷺ, and they cannot be regarded as following a directive of the Quran or an explanation of a directive mentioned in it. The fourth principle. A new sunnah is not constituted by merely observing some sunnah in an optional manner. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while obeying the Quranic directive, he who does a virtue of his own will, God accepts it and is all-knowing. Surah 2 verse 158 offered optional prayers besides the obligatory ones, fasted optionally besides the obligatory fast of Ramadan, offered animal sacrifice at instances in which it was not obligatory. However, none of these optional acts of worship constitute a new sunnah. The way the Prophet ﷺ showed diligence in worshipping over and above what was required of him can definitely be termed as a good example that he set for his followers. However, it cannot be regarded as an independent sunnah. Similar is the case of doing some deed of religion in its most ultimate and perfect form. The wudu, or ablution, and ghusl, or bathing, of the Prophet ﷺ are two very good examples that can be presented in this regard. The way the Prophet ﷺ went about doing these does not constitute any independent or original deed that they may be regarded as another sunnah. He has in fact tried to obey an original sunnah in its most complete and perfect form. Hence they shall be regarded as the exemplary form in which he acted upon a sunnah, and not regarded as independent sunnah. The fifth principle. Things which merely state some aspects of human nature cannot be regarded as sunnah, except if the prophets of God have made any of them an essential part of religion. Beasts having canine teeth, wild birds having claws, and tame donkeys have been prohibited by the Prophet ﷺ. However, this prohibition is only a delineation of human nature. Reference Al-Bukhari, Al-Jami Al-Sahi, 716, number 4216, Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahi, 591, 864. Numbers 3433 and 4994. Hence this prohibition cannot be termed as sunnah. Earlier in this chapter, while discussing the principles of understanding the Quran, it has been reasoned out in the subsection, Hadith and Quran, found in the section, The Final Authority, that after the prohibition of certain food items mentioned in the Quran, in Surah 6145 and Surah 2173, this is a mere delineation of human nature. Man inherently knows that lions, tigers, and elephants are not meant to be eaten. He is also aware of the fact that horses and mules are a means of transportation and have no role in satisfying one's hunger. There are some other similar things also which have been mentioned in various narratives and should be understood thus, and not as independent sunan. The sixth principle. Those guidelines of the Prophet ﷺ also cannot be regarded as sunnah, the nature of which is fully sufficient to show that the Prophet ﷺ never wanted to constitute them as sunnah. One example of this are the utterances and supplications which are said in the Qada. It is evident from various narratives that the Prophet ﷺ taught the tashahud and the durood to be recited in the Qada. However, it is also very clear from these narratives that neither did the Prophet himself prescribe these supplications for this occasion, nor after teaching them did he make them mandatory upon people to read them. They are part of his favorite supplications, and nothing better than these can be imagined. However, in this regard, his own attitude shows that he did not want to bind people in any way. He in fact wanted to give them the option to either read these supplications, which he taught them, or read some others to invoke the Almighty. Thus, the only thing that is sunnah in this regard is that one must sit in the qada position in the second and last rak'ah of the prayer. Other than this, no other thing is sunnah in this sphere. The seventh principle. Just as the Quran is not validated through khabar-i-wahid, the sunnah is also not validated through it. The sunnah is an independent source of religion. The Prophet ﷺ was liable to communicate it with great care and diligence in its original form and in a manner that would render it certain. It was not left to a person's choice to communicate it further, as is the case of khabar-i-wahid. Consequently, the source of the sunnah is the consensus of the ummah, just as the source of the Quran is the consensus of the ummah. Just as the Quran has been transmitted to the ummah by the consensus and verbal perpetuation of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah is transmitted to the ummah by their consensus and their practical perpetuation. Less than this extent of validation, the Quran and sunnah cannot be accepted. Only the ahadith which depict the exemplary personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or which contain his explication are transmitted through lesser means of validation. These are the seven principles of determining the Sunnah. If what has been transmitted to the Ummah by the Prophet ﷺ other than the Quran is deliberated upon in the light of these principles, the Sunnah, like the Quran, can be determined with absolute certainty.